How many of y'all ever heard those words? If you have kids, you've heard it. All right. Quick word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I know this whole message was for me putting it together, and I thank you for that. It's for every one of us. I pray you'd open our hearts to take a real look. Let us get the world off of us and be what we need to be and be in the world and love the world. Treasure the world above ourselves, but not have it all over us. Lord, let us take this deep to heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Living in a blameless society. Oh, boy, this one could go everywhere. And this one came out of nowhere. I know God wanted me to teach this. I just didn't know it was going to hit me so hard when I put it together. So I got my whooping first. I'm passing it on, okay? I do ask you to listen very close to this because I think we get it wrong in a lot of areas in what I'm getting ready to discuss. And I think more of us are affected by this than we realize. And as we go through it and hear the scriptures and see the condition most of us are going to find ourselves. You know, I probably would hear screaming amens on this, just opening up, talking about this. But our world in general, our culture, even right here, we're living in a time where the lifestyles that people have, we have gotten into this habit of trying to even blame our lifestyles on our genetics. Well, I'm an alcoholic because I have the DNA to be an alcoholic. I'm a homosexual because I have the DNA to be a homosexual. I do believe sin's become a part of who we are. I understand that. But it's not because of our DNA code. We have a culture that's not going to be blamed for anything. So my lifestyle is because of my DNA. My bad habits and my actions are because of my upbringing and because of my screwed up home and because of society and because of the people I hang with and because of the guys down at work and all my doubts and my fears and my depressions and my anger and my unforgiveness, that's because of the trauma that I've had in my life. You don't know how I was raised. You don't know what my mama did to me. And I'm going to go somewhere with this because that's already ringing a note with some of you. And you're like, yeah, that's true. Shut up. Just hold on. Okay? Some of us have bad attitudes and we say it's because of the people we're with. Some of you would say it's because of the person that I'm married to. If I didn't have a bad attitude, I couldn't survive. It's my defense mechanism. Right? I'll tell you what. Marriage is one of those things, it's so easy because you're with a person and you learn everything about them and they learn everything about you. It's so easy to blame your bad attitude or your depression or whatever on your marriage partner because you, after you've been married a while, you let your hair down. I went too far. And you get to know each other. And if you're looking for a reason and you're living with another individual trying to make every thought one, you're doggone right you'll find a reason to be somebody you want to be if you don't want to be a good person. But it's not about that. And if you want to talk about having people as a reason for bad attitude, I'll tell you this, and this is so far away removed that you guys don't know them and it's okay, but I have had people come to me and say, my daddy don't love Jesus because of you. I'm like, what? You failed him. I've been told that by spouses. And it broke my heart until I realized that this person didn't only hate me, but they hated everyone in the congregation, that they had cussed God out, that they hated their kids, they hated their wife, and I was just one in a long line, and it was okay. But we so often want to blame everybody but ourselves. If you hate Jesus, you can't very well blame me or any other pastor. Because we're in a free country, and you probably got two copies of the Bible fading away in the back of your vehicle. So if you hate Jesus and you want to blame it on some clergyman, you better wake up. It's between you and Jesus. But you see these things. Everybody has a reason to blame somebody else. And your poor moral choices go from everything to, I've heard Christians say this about pornography. Well, it's only natural. How can you tell me that I shouldn't watch pornography? It's just natural. And they can blame it on nature and it's my natural drive. I don't think God meant for you to be able to immediately undress any woman that you see anywhere in multitudes of hundreds and get them to do anything your heart desires with no worry or thought about whether they love you or you love them or you care about them. no, that ain't natural. And that does mess you up on the inside. But, well, it's natural, so I'm going to blame it on nature. Or it's the cultural trend to take the moral choices that I do. Or I even hear so often nowadays, it was a financial necessity to do what we did. I'm not judging pro, con, whatever. I'm just saying everything that we do in this culture, we have a reason to say, it's not my fault. I hear the words, and you'll immediately go to, this is not about a homosexual lifestyle at all, and you'll immediately think that when I say this, but it's not. I hear so often from all kinds of people, that's just who I am. That's just how I am. That's just how I feel. I can't do anything about it, so get off my back. I had some really good friends from up north that every time you said hello to them, they would cuss you out. And when they tried to say, I love you, they would offend you. You ever known anybody like that? And I'm like, dude, why? And they're the best people in the world. And he would always say, that's just the way I am. You don't like it. That's just tough. It might be the way you are. It might be what you've become. It might have become a part of you to be that bitter. It doesn't mean that that's just who you are. It means that's who you've allowed yourself to become. But we blame it on everything else. So it's become so commonplace and accepted that if I were to tell you, no, that's not how you should be, and no, you really shouldn't blame them, maybe you better back up and take a look at yourself, then I'm being judgmental and bigoted. And if I love you, and if you love me, and if we're tight, we should be telling each other where we need to help each other, right? I shouldn't just give you a free ticket to blame the world and go on with your craziness. But we're in a culture that even this far in this introduction, there are people that are already offended. How dare you tell me that I don't have a right to feel like I do? I haven't said that yet. But what I'm telling you is everybody, instead of wanting to have any personal accountability in anything that's happened to you, you want to point the other way and say, it's not in me, it's not my fault. So before you get offended, because we live in a culture that will get offended immediately upon saying, how can you tell me I shouldn't blame someone? I want you to hear the whole story, okay? Because you're going to be surprised. Because what I'm telling you right now from the beginning is usually from the pulpit, people really carry that too far and say, you better just suck it up, buttercup. You can't blame nobody. That's not true. Is there a person in here that doesn't have scars from something that happened in your life? Is there a person in here that hasn't had your lifestyle, your thought process, your emotions, or even the direction of your life changed because of something someone else did? You're doggone right, things happen in your life that will affect you. There ain't no getting around it. So it angers me when somebody says, suck it up, you don't have a right. But it also angers me when all you want to do is point the finger and take away all personal accountability for anything you've become because of what somebody else did to your life. The truth that God teaches us is somewhere in the middle, and it's solid and it's clear and it is the way. But we're imbalanced one way or the other. So that's what we want to talk about for a minute, because we're in a culture where we are screwed up. But I'll tell you this. If I didn't believe in God and I didn't have His solid word and I didn't see His wisdom and I hadn't lived it, I would be right there. So you can't be mad at anybody that plays the blame game. Because if I had nothing to lose and I didn't believe there was a God and I had no moral problems, then I would be very quick to blame other people. But I would be miserable in doing it. Okay, so we're saturated with the same thing as Christians. Not only that, but it's worse because anything we need to resist or change in our lives, we can go even further. We can blame the world like everybody else, right? But guess what else I can do? I can blame Satan. Right? The world can't do that. Satan made me do it. Ha ha, world. One up for the Christian, zero for the atheist. I can blame somebody else. Well, I can blame my sinful flesh. I got two up on you now. Right? Or, let me give you three up, and this is sad, and there are people in this room that are doing it right now, so I want you to listen to me. I can blame God Himself. Because He let it happen. Now, some of you will say it out loud to Him. Some of you have lived your whole life not saying it out loud to Him, but you felt it and He's known it. So you might as well get it out there. Because He let this happen. Because He didn't make this happen. because he didn't make me a different person, because he didn't give me the opportunities I needed, because he didn't give me the parents I needed, because blah, 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 blah. We Christians, man, we blame God more than Satan. We blame God more than the world. And it's not like this is something new. Where did it start? The first sin that ever occurred, right? Within moments. Genesis 3:11. And he, God said, who told you you were naked? Talking to Adam. Have you eaten of the tree which I commanded you not to eat? There's a lot of using there. Have you done what I told you not to do? There's a lot of accountability in that, right? What's the answer? The man said, the woman who you gave to me, she made me do it. So I've already pointed two fingers. I am the very first one, the very first sin, and the first thing anybody ever blames on anyone else is who? God. That woman you gave me, she made me do it. Bing, bing, there's two people. I'm not to blame here. And God says, woman, is it true? And what does she say? Blame me. He was Satan, right? So we're just bouncing the pinball everywhere already. So you think you invented the blame game? No. But now let me ask you, did God say, oh, well, okay, I understand, sorry, carry on? No. It might have been a reason, but there's a difference between a reason and a real excuse. This might be the reason it happened, but is an excusable reason. So anyway, within seconds, there was already blame given to God, the world, and Satan. And it's pretty bad when you blame the world, and the world only accumulates to one other person. So it started early. Now, listen to me. Oh, gosh, I found myself in this. We're going to really break this down, and we're going to really learn something together in God's Scripture today if we'll listen. Okay? But first, you got to find yourself. You got to find out what your diagnosis is. You can take the right medicine, right? Every one of us accepts these excuses in our Christian life, how I act in relationships, what my attitude is, what my sexual behavior is, what my moral behavior is, whatever. We accept these excuses that we give as blame on others, even if we don't say it out loud. Everybody, every one of you in your own mind has found someone to blame for how you are not doing what you should do for God, not in a legalistic manner. We do because we love God, not because we have to. But anybody who's decided that they don't want to do it, you've already found a reason to blame. And let me tell you why I know you have. Because if you hadn't found something or someone else to blame for why you don't love God more, for why you don't serve Him with your whole heart more, for why you don't love other people more, if you hadn't found a good reason, a good person to blame it on, you'd have already changed. But you found something in your mind to blame it on that's a good excuse. I'm too busy. I work too hard. God expects too much. This culture made us all have to work, and now we're all so busy we don't have time. Well, God knows I try hard, but nobody's perfect. Well, God knows what I went through, and God knows how bad I hurt, and He won't take that hurt away, so I'm sorry if I'm just frozen and stuck in the mud. It's His fault, because He ain't taking the pain away. We all have our reasons for being stuck in the mud and have apathy or whatever. If you didn't have a reason that you felt good about, you'd be serving God more. You'd be serving man more. Doesn't mean we need to do more. It means we need to love more. We find excuses not to love. We find excuses not to love. Now, every one of us has a reason for who we are right now, for how we feel right now, for how we react, for how we treat others. And we usually say, this is just how things are, and I can't or won't do anything about it. Here's some some deep-rooted causes of using blame, all right? I want you to, and some of it's conscious and some of it's subconscious. Some of us are just flat out about it. Some of us, we never realize it's happening. But I want you to listen to this, and I want you to listen to this and ask the Spirit, because you know, Scriptures say if you ask the Spirit to reveal your heart to yourself, He will. I don't like to pray that, because there's been times I've been alone up in the woods praying that, and I had to write till my hand hurt and stop and say, can you tell me more tomorrow? I don't want to hear anymore. Because the list gets long and distinguished very quick. But I want you to ask God through the Holy Spirit to see if you find yourself in here, and you probably will, okay? These are reasons that we find to blame others. One, because we have a victim mentality, and most people that have a victim mentality don't know it. I feel I've been done wrong by someone, or something has happened in my life that's made me an awfully sad victim. And I'm not saying it's not true, but I'm saying this is the effect that it's had on you. And it's given you an inability to move on or do better or change your ways or change your thought process. Because of what's happened or what's been done to you, you have stuck yourself in a rut mentally, which has stuck you in a rut emotionally, which has stuck you in a rut physically. And you constantly have the subconscious thought, this is where I am, and it's not my fault because this is what happened to me, and this is what made me who I am and where I am. And I've had a crappy life, and no one else has lived through what I've lived through. And it's your excuse not to love other people. It's your excuse to be sad all the time. It's your excuse to be introverted instead of loving the world. It's your excuse not to be close to God. I didn't make this happen to me. I didn't cause these circumstances. I can't help. I've said this. I can't help how it makes me feel. I can't help how I'm hurting. Is all that true? Yes, I understand that. But we use it as the reason, as the blame for how I am, rather than wanting to change it. There's a lot of victim mentality in the world today. And what happens is, if you get hurt, if you've been hurt, sometimes you get to the point in your victim mentality that you get bitter and you say, well, I have reasons to hurt and offend other people. Nobody cared if it happened to me. And you'll talk a little more cruddy and you'll be a little less empathetic because you felt like no one's been empathetic to you. You ever been there? It all starts with the victim mentality. Sometimes the victim can be the most obnoxious and hard person in the world because they can't forgive what was done to them. Therefore, they can't forgive others. Or else you just shut down and move on. And you give yourself the right to be an introverted, depressed person because you blame it on others rather than just standing up and saying, here's the problem with that. I want you to listen close. If because something was done to you and you do feel victimized, and it is a very real thing, you want to continue to blame others for your hurt rather than change, guess where your focus still is? Still on me. It's on what happened to me. It's on how I feel. It's on what do I need to do now. Not those feelings are real. The best way to get over it is to let me disappear and be so focused on other people. And the world's not just revolving around me. We'll hear more on that in a minute. Number two, the prideful. The selfies. So confident and you're so sure of yourself that you just couldn't be at fault. So you have to blame other people. You can't be the one that's wrong. One, because you think you're too good to be wrong. I'll just put it point blank. And this is really big in the Christian community. I'm not the one drinking. I'm not the one womanizing. I got righteousness on my side. There ain't no way it's my fault. Shut up. You're a sinner headed straight for hell, and the only reason you have 1 ounce of good in you is because the Holy Spirit's living in you, and if he left, you'd fall 2 seconds, and you'd fall with him in you. And if I did have to get out of hand, it's just because I was reacting to their sinfulness, and I had to set them straight. Or they deserve this treatment. They deserve this attitude because of their sinful ways. I have seen people come and say, well, I want to do this good deed for them, but the way they're acting, I don't know if they deserve it or not. Buddy, you're walking on some dangerous ground. Why don't you just pray and ask God whether he wants you to do it, whether they deserve it or not, because when they least deserve it, might be the time he's telling you you need to do it. And it ain't up to you to decide on your righteousness scale whether they deserve it. So you can blame not doing a good deed on somebody because of your prideful righteousness. Very easy, very quick as a Christian to want to shift the blame on somebody else because in our pride, heaven forbid, I have to in any way admit that I've done wrong or that I've sinned because I'm a righteous, prideful person. You won't catch me dead in an altar because I don't have enough problems to be at that altar. I ain't going to ask you to pray for me. I ain't going to tell you I got a problem. I'm going to blame it on somebody else. There's so much of that in Christianity. And you know what? That's probably one of the number one things that makes the world sick to their stomach. Because it ain't a picture of Jesus. It's a picture of a Pharisee. It's easier to hide it, not deal with it, than to admit an imperfection in front of somebody else. Have you found yourself yet? Number three, the insecure person. And we're still more focused on ourselves when we're insecure. I find myself on this one. You can justify not showing or admitting a fault and never facing or changing because you have to protect your reputation because you feel so bad about yourself. Nobody cares about me. No, everybody thinks I'm a screw up anyway. If I admit this, I'm just going to acknowledge what everybody says and I'll be even worse. Have you ever felt that way? Oh my gosh, I don't want Larry to find out about this. He already thinks I'm an idiot. So I'm going to blame something else. And then nobody will know. And then I can do it because I don't want to get more depressed. And I can justify it in my mind that, well, I can't do this because they'll make fun of me and I'll just get more depressed. So that's my blame game. I'm going to blame somebody else and protect myself. And then the last one. Those that are just not willing to change. And this is the person that simply hides behind a purposeful directing of blame. They know they're wrong. They could care less. They don't want to change. But if they can hide it from you, I know there are people like this in this congregation. Because I've had to deal with them. And I've had to talk to them. And it's been tough. But it's people that will purposefully hide their sin and shame by blaming others, just so they can continue with their sin instead of changing and look righteous in front of the congregation. I don't want to change, but I have to deal with you, so I'm going to shift the blame. A lot of married couples do that. I'm stuck with this person that's going to judge me if they know. So I'm going to find a way to blame it on something or someone else so that you won't be on my back and I can look good to you. A lot of people that are in substance abuse don't want to change, but don't want to face you in their unrighteousness. So what do? Blame anything and everybody. So these are some of the big hitters. There's a lot more. Are you in any of those? If you have something that rings a bell with you in sin, if you have an attitude or a problem or moral choices that you're making that you won't change, you're going to be in one of those because you have decided to blame something other than yourself. So, for whatever reason, we cast blame in all these directions. This is what I want you to realize before we go on. Listen, say amen. Say it like you mean it. Amen. All right. To cast blame in other directions is the deadliest poison to your soul that you could possibly have in the world. Let me tell you why. Because it allows you to keep on sinning with less guilt than you had before, even feeling secure. You can wrap yourself up in security by blaming other people. Instead of realizing you're just a beanhead, you have convinced yourself that other people and other things and other circumstances are to blame for all your problems. Therefore, God's got to give you a get-out-of-jail-card free, and you can keep on doing what you're doing because you're the handicapped invalid that God feels sorry for. Takes away all your responsibility and all your actions and all your failures. And you just lose the will. You lose the need to change. And it allows you, when you shift the blame, to maintain an appearance of righteousness. Therefore, you don't have to address doodly squat. And lastly, it keeps your thoughts on yourself. As long as I can keep blaming you, then the thoughts are all about protecting myself or giving myself an excuse. And when you do that, then all of your thoughts go against everything that every page of Scripture teaches you in the first place. And it separates you from God, and it keeps you miserable because all you're doing is thinking about self. And you can find 1,000 reasons to be who you want to be. Now, some people in this room have played this blame game, and you have shifted the blame to the point that you have held on to your same weaknesses and your same pains and your same habits and your same ill temper and your same lust and your same whatever, your same negligence of God for months, years, for much of your Christian life. I know there have been events in people's lives and that one event has shaped how they feel about God and other people and they've never gotten over it and every thought and every attitude and every word they speak has been tainted with that one item their whole life ever since because they can't get past the blame shifting. And my mother died a precious saint, but most of her life, that was her. And she was a hard woman to live with, even though she loved me like no other. I wasn't unloved, but she was a hard woman to have as a mom because everything that came out of her mouth and every decision that she made and every breath that she took was full of bitterness because she blamed someone for her condition. And it's a horrible place to be, and there's Christians that are doing it every day, and you're miserable, and you've missed the whole point. Now, here's the unpopular truth for pastors when they're talking about blame, okay? And it's ridiculous and it's sad because it takes away every potential for truth in the gospel or every potential for healing. Okay? If you listen, say amen. All right. It's crucial and it's neglected. It defies reality and it prevents healing. And that simple truth is this. It is, listen to the words, absolutely true that blame can and should be cast on events in your life, influences in your life, teachings in your life, the culture in which you live, maybe even the person that you're married to. If I tell you that these things can't have some blame for shaping you, hurting you, changing your mindset, teaching you the wrong things, I am a fruitcake. How can someone tell you that you need to be 100% accountable? It doesn't matter what you've been taught, doesn't matter what's happened, doesn't matter how you were raised. Well, then that means that every person that was ever raised in a Muslim country and hasn't heard a single word about Jesus Christ, and I can blame them because they don't know Jesus. Does that make sense? You never heard. You grew up as a Muslim. How can I blame you if you've never even heard the words Jesus Christ? If you grew up raped and beat to within an inch of your life every day, do you think that you don't have something to blame for your anxiety and your worry and depression when you get older? If you grow up being taught by your parents that you need to be bitter about everything that happens and you need to strike first, strike hard, no mercy, sir. And that's the way you're taught from the beginning. Do you think that you can't blame some of your bitterness on that heritage? Of course you can. We see the cultural cliques. We see the effects. If that was not true, then how come we see such a massive change in every single home that doesn't have a father? How come 75 to 80% of all the people incarcerated don't have a father? How come the majority of the people that are pregnant or doing drugs didn't get raised with a father? Because these influences are to blame for the effects of your mind and your emotions. It's just a fact. And it just infuriates me when people say that's not true. Natural and unnatural, learned fleshly desires can become a part of who you are because of what you were exposed to. Now, to say these things don't affect our thoughts and our views and our choices and even our character is ridiculous. They're part of our life. They're real temptations, they're real stumbling blocks, and they've given you real paths to follow. And a lot of people in here have been different people that they wouldn't have been otherwise except for these influences that they can blame. And that's why I get upset when people say you can't play the blame game. But here's the deal. Just like Adam and Eve in the garden, okay, what if Satan hadn't been there that day? It would have been different, wouldn't it? Can we blame it on some effect by Satan that day? Yeah, if Satan hadn't showed up, would it have happened? No. But did God say, well, there's the blame, so let's just forget about it? No. So here is the flip side of the coin. Here is where we fail. Listen to me. It is good. It is right. It is necessary. It is healthy to accept that there are many things that have happened in your life that are to blame for what affects you the way it does. But it is not your stinking excuse to be what you shouldn't be. Here's what you need to do, and I want you to listen to me. And you know, God's principles work whether you're a Christian or not, and this is why there's, if all the counseling you get says, well, tell me about your life, tell me what happened, tell me about these evil people, oh my gosh, it's their fault, you're pitiful, and you never ever get brought to a point of accountability or love for others above self, you'll never get out of the hole. And that's just a fact. to make a change, to ever remove or resist sin or get out of your hole of depression or anger or bitterness, doesn't start by denying the effects of these things in your life. It first starts by accepting the truth of these influences and accepting that the condition of my heart and the things that have happened to me, it has hurt me and sent me in the wrong direction, and it has affected my mindset, and it has given me feelings that shouldn't be there, and it has made me be a person that I shouldn't be. Then, please listen. Please listen. Then you accept that regardless of the events and the influences and the lies, that you have something the rest of the victimized, controlled, beat down, hurting world doesn't have. And I feel bad for the world because they don't have what it takes to bring them out of this hole. They are at the mercy of these things that have happened. But you as a Christian don't have that excuse. Yes, you've been hurt. Yes, you've been affected. Yes, you've been tainted. But you also have a yardstick that is full of wisdom. You have a truth that says, no, that's not the way it should have been. That's not how you should have been treated. That's not how you should react. That's not what will make you happy. You shouldn't continue that in another generational crisis. This is the truth that will bring you out. 1 Corinthians 2:6. Listen closely to these words. Yet among the mature, this is Paul talking to Christians, we do impart what, class? Wisdom. Although it is not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away, but we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages of our glory. You have a secret and powerful and ageless wisdom that the rest of the world doesn't have, and it doesn't matter where you've been or what you've been taught. If you accepted Christ and if you say you trust Christ, then you have something in your hand that tells you how it should be versus how it was. That doesn't take away the pain, but it does tell you what to do with the pain, and it does tell you how it was supposed to be, and it does tell you if you ever want to be who you should be and you ever want to find true joy, then you will change from what the world has shifted you into to this. Will it make everything go away? No. But it'll give you direction. It'll give you an anchor. It'll take away your right to blame someone else for your actions. Because actions are a choice, not just an emotion. 1 Corinthians 2:12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world. Listen, look at me. You don't only have truth that no one else has that has been proven to be incredible beyond the world. But you have the power to live it even though you're weak and fallen and tainted. Listen here. We have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might. Why did we receive him? One reason. That we might understand the things freely given of God. Do you see how that fits together? He gives you this stuff. You are tainted by the world. You are hurt. You do have things to blame. But he says, but then I give you my spirit, my literal living spirit of God, his mind in me that says, I'm going to give you this word and you couldn't do anything with it in your condition, but he'll help you do something with it. He'll help you go beyond yourself when you can't do it. And we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. The natural person does not accept these things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him. He's not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. Spiritual person judges all things. It means I look at everything. I look at what's been done to me. I look at how the world is. I look at the things that I'm blaming. But is himself to be judged by no one. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? What are the last words? But we have the mind of Christ. All right. We have a timeless, unstoppable, perfect truth to measure the real world by when we've got everything telling us otherwise. Everything to blame our ignorance, everything to blame our sin, everything to blame our path on. Now the blame has to be taken away because we have a truth. And we said we believe that truth. We said we know God's bigger, better. Not only do we have that truth, but we have someone living in us that can take us beyond ourselves to follow that truth even when it's too hard for us because we are tainted individuals that have been hurt. It's like me walking to some broken person that'll never make it on their own and saying, hey, look, here's the picture to true joy. And they cry and they say, that looks so awesome. I believe you. I can't get there from here now. I'm too wasted. I'm too far gone. You ever met anybody like that? I have. And then you pat them on the back and you say, oh, but you don't have to worry about it because I'm not leaving you. If you just tell me that you're willing to get to this picture, I won't leave you till you do. I'll take you when you can't go. I'll carry you when you're unconscious. I'll smack you around when you're acting dumb, but I won't leave you. The Holy Spirit gives you the picture, and then the Holy Spirit says, I'll stay with you until you get there. So, yeah, you've got things to blame on how you got where you are. You got things to blame on why you've got the baggage, but you don't have a reason to say, I will never, ever come out from under it. If you do, it's because you just want to. So, we have the power, we have the influence, we have the love of the God of the creation in us. We do have a million directions to go the wrong, reasons to go the wrong way and blame others. But that's not our fault. Our fault is not accepting the power and the truth that lets us overcome it. Listen, the blame stops and it becomes all on you when you do have that truth and you do have that power. And you are introduced to a love that went through more than you'll ever understand because you're worth it. And it's all on you when you're introduced to His wisdom. And it's all on you when you finally meet the one that, as the God and creator of the universe, didn't see any limit, didn't blame other people, but just said, I'll take all the blame on me just so I can wipe the slate clean. Just so I can love you, I'll take the blame on me. And if you'll just say, okay, take my blame, I'll love you forever. When you meet that person and you see that kind of humble love, where He, the God of the universe, of perfect righteousness, is willing to say, I don't want to blame you even if you're to blame. I want to take it on me so that we can just be right. If you see that, if you accept that, if you see His wisdom and you still are willing to use everything and everybody as a blame for why you want to be bitter, now I can say you're at fault. Now I can say you've drawn it into sin and you're using the blame game to your advantage. The problem is you either don't trust and believe God, or big, you're not willing to be humble enough to admit to God and your brothers and sisters in the world that you are to blame. Or you're not willing to take on the inconvenience, the discomfort, and that downright struggle that it takes sometimes to renew your thoughts and take accountability for who you're going to be regardless of the damage that you've taken on. And for some of you, it's a lifelong climb. There's no lie. I won't tell you it's an easy course. For some of you, it's a lifelong climb and a struggle with God at your side and His word in your hand to come out of the hole of what's been done to you rather than blame someone else. And you're not willing to take that struggle. It's easier to be the victim, blame someone, and go on with your life. But you're going to be more miserable than if you stayed in the struggle to beat it the rest of your life. I'll guarantee you that. Please, please, please listen to what I'm about to say, and we'll wrap this up. But I want you to listen close to what I'm about to tell you for the next few minutes, okay? One, there is not one single soul on the planet without a solid reason to be someone other than who God called them in righteousness. Not one. You're not different. You may or may not have had it worse than someone else. Everybody in this room has been programmed wrong. Everybody in this room has a reason to blame something on. They've been tainted by events. They've been hurt. They've been misled. They've been saturated with improper and even unnatural feelings. Things that have literally become part of who you are. Everyone in this room, you are not different. Satan will pull you aside and say you're different. Every one of us has a reason to blame on not being who we should be. We all have a legitimate excuse. Number two, some of the things that have molded and changed and tempted you and hurt you, you don't like to hear this. will always be a part of who you are. Always. God doesn't say ever that on this side of heaven that he will take away every pain and every scar that ever hit you. What he does promise is that if you will trust him and you will raise him up and you will stop the blame game, but you will just let him come into your life and do something with the mess, that he will take that baggage and turn it into weapons of war against the enemy to help other people. But you really, really, really have to trust him with your pain. 2 Corinthians 12:9. Please let these words soak in. But he said to me, my grace is, this is God talking to Paul when Paul complained about a problem. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in what? In your weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses. Paul said, I've got problems, but I'm going to brag on them. I'm going to brag on them so the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I'm content with my weaknesses, with my insults, with my hardships, with my persecutions and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. He says, all these things that have hurt me, they have made me who I am. They make me see all the more why holiness and righteousness and love are the true way to go. All the more why sin is so bad that Jesus Christ had to give everything and tear the universe in half to destroy it. All the more why I should love and not be that way. And when I'm so messed up because of my past that I can blame on someone else, but instead of blaming, I just trust God. When I'm that messed up, then I'll glory because I know it wasn't me that carried me through because I couldn't have got through these things that I'm blaming on other people because it's real. That I know it was only God that brought me through. Only God that makes me look back on it as a shadow. It's not even a big deal in my life anymore. I'm not going to blame anybody because my God's going to take everything that happened to me and he's going to make something beautiful out of it. I don't expect it to go away. I expect God to use it in powerful ways where I can't, where in the end I'll be more useful to him and more loving to other people and a better, more righteous person because it happened in the first place. That's what God promises he'll do with your scars. And lastly, do you think God lost control and that you were out of his reach when these things happened to you? Listen close. Do you realize that some of the very things that cause you to want to blame others and blame God as your excuse for unrighteousness? You better listen to this. The very things you shake your fist at and blame God for and blame others and blame society and blame these events and you're mad at God and it's your excuse to fail and you know you've got them. Those very things were either caused or allowed by God sometimes as a way of testing you to see, do you want righteousness? Do you want to choose love? Will you do the right thing when it costs you? Or are you just looking for an excuse? I'll give you one. And if you grab it and play the blame game instead of pursuing me and pursuing love and pursuing righteousness, then I'll know what was in your heart all along. Because when you squeeze a lemon, lemon juice is going to come out. And I've seen people completely change when they get into a situation where they can throw blame and it wasn't their fault. Because the minute injustice has been done, the minute you're done wrong and it is justifiable to blame is the minute the real you is going to come out. Are you going to be righteous and loving or are you just going to throw your finger up and curse the world and blame? James 1, 2 through 4. Listen to this. It's hard for me to tell it to you. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For connection, listen, you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. Let steadfastness have its full effect that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. He says, sometimes I let it come to see, are you going to blame or are you going to grow in steadfastness and trust? James 1:12, just a few verses later, blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. For when he has stood the test, when he doesn't play the blame game, when he does accept and trust me, even when he has a right to play the blame game, even when he has been hurt by it, when he stands the trial instead, he will receive the crown of life which God has promised to those who love him. Can't play it off, can't put it aside. This is the bottom line. Do you believe God is real? And I don't want you to answer me. I want you to really answer yourself. If you believe he's real, then obviously, do you believe he's more intelligent than you are? If he's real, if he created the universe, if you are a product of his creation, do you trust him or not? And here's my question that I could ask so many times to so many people that I've been able to counsel with. Do you still trust him when it goes against your feelings? Do you still trust him when it goes against your will? Do you still trust him when it goes against your logic and your belief of what justice is? Did he stop being God? Did he stop being intelligent? Did he stop caring because it doesn't go along with what you think is fair or because it's not how you feel about it? Do you still believe him when believing him cuts across your struggle of pain and hurt? The answer is yes on all those. And let me tell you, look at me. Your actions need to back your claims. You need to put it down. You need to stop blaming, although you have a right. You need to stop blaming, although the scars are still there to say you have a right. You need to stop blaming, and you need to look at the Word, and you need to be filled with the Spirit that teaches you how to use that Word, and you need to rise above it for your benefit and for your closeness to God. Because there are those that still need you to show them the way and love them even though you've been hurt. And maybe because you've been hurt that bad, you can rise above and still love and still function. Maybe that's exactly what it'll take to drag that other person out that doesn't have the Word of God, that doesn't have the love and the Spirit of God. Maybe they'll see you and you can grab their hand and bring them somewhere with a tool that they don't have. So ask yourself, if you are acting in an acceptable way according to God's Word, regardless of the reason that brought you there, right now, are there things in your life that you know according to God's Word are not where they should be? Not in a legalistic manner, but because he loves you and because he wants you to learn to love. And the fact that these things are in your life means you're not loving perfectly. Do you have things that are not acceptable to God? If you do, then ask yourself this. Do you want to change, or do you want an excuse to stay where you are? If you want an excuse, then go on. You got it. 1 Thessalonians 5:21, test everything, hold fast what is good, and abstain from every form of evil. If it's in your life, and you question it, put it before God's Word. And if it's wrong, then you decide, do I want an excuse, or am I serious about changing? And I'm begging you to stop thinking because of whatever's happened in your life, you have special circumstances or you have extreme reasons that make you the exception to be improper in your attitude or behavior, or that you can love less, or you can hold on to bitterness, or you can be unthankful, or you can lust all you want, or you can divorce when no one else could, or you can do whatever you want to do and you've got the free card because you're different. And if anybody else had your circumstances, let me tell you something, and I'm not going to put her on the spot and talk anything about it, but there ain't a person in here that's got any more right than my wife to be someone other than who she is. And I'll say that very confidently. And it had to affect her because she married me. And again, a lot of you, even my children, don't know everything about my family and upbringing. I got lots of reasons to. Many of you do. Many of you do. But I'm telling you, that's not who you are. Let go of the blame and decide, are you going to trust him or are you going to find an excuse? And don't confuse, oh, this is so important to someone out there hurting. I wish I could pour this into people. Because I see it and I hear it in their voices. Don't confuse programmed feelings and improper thoughts and pains with who you are as a person. You're broken because of things that have happened to you. You have improper thoughts and you have anger And you have an unnatural desire even sometimes because of things that have happened to you to taint you, to send you down the wrong road. And so you judge yourself, well, I can't stop. Well, I can't say no. Well, I'm different. Well, my thought process is all messed up. Whose isn't? Don't think that because you have feelings that you can't control or anger or unforgiveness or lust or unnatural desires, don't think because these things are in you that you're messed up. We're all fallen, broken people. True change starts with a choice above your feelings. I feel like being bitter. I feel like being unloving. I feel like I'm attracted to the wrong person. Well, your feelings have become a part of you, and they have been based upon actual concrete things that have gone on in your life. It doesn't mean that they're okay, and it doesn't mean that you are that feeling. It means that you've been misled. It means you need to trust until that anger, that unforgiveness, that desire is gone. True change, listen to me. True change starts with that feeling is not who I am. And I am in charge of my choices. And my choices will lead to feelings as well. Did you get that? You make a choice. You follow that choice because you know it's true. Even though you don't feel it, you understand you're fallen, you're broken. That choice is not who you are, and that choice is not truth. I mean, that feeling is not who you are, and that feeling is not truth. You make a choice based on nothing but your faith in God, and you follow it until the renewal of your mind begins to show you why you were wrong in the first place. But when you're there and you're being affected and overcome by these things, all you can go on is a choice for truth. That's for every one of us that have been tainted by the things we could blame life on. Do you understand that? I've had to fight depression most of my life in some way or another, and God has helped me beat it, but it was horrible. And many, many times in my life, I was so overcome with depression, and my view of life was so screwed up, I really didn't care if I died. Many, 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 many days I woke up, and it would have been okay. Why? Because my every thought was tainted, and I had to hold on to the fact that what my God says is truth whether I feel it or not, and I'll hold on by choice to what I know is true until he brings me out of the feelings. And he did. Until his truth became a part of me. And the truth that became a part of me suddenly began to affect my feelings. Because I was reprogrammed. But you don't get reprogrammed until you choose to follow something beyond your feelings. Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to this world. That's easy. Follow your feelings. But be transformed by the renewal of your mind. He didn't say the renewal of your feelings. That by testing you may discern what is the will of God and what is good and acceptable and perfect. He says, find out what is real and good and perfect and joyful and helpful and proper. And then renew your mind by choosing that. And the feelings will come. And when they come, oh, they're so much more precious. And you realize, wow, this is the way it was supposed to be. I wasn't supposed to be bitter. I wasn't supposed to be depressed. I wasn't supposed to be full of anxiety. I wasn't supposed to lust after everything till I couldn't control myself because it was natural. But I had to trust him enough to choose it first. So the only question you have, the only question this all comes down to is, do you truly want to change or do you want to hide it? Because some of you are so comfortable and so content in your isolated world to blame, you couldn't dream of wanting to come out and fight the fight to get above it. Talk to people every day. But it's at the expense of your happiness. And I promise you, it's at the expense of your relationship with God, not because he wants it that way. He's there. But because when you're shifting blame, instead of accepting your problems and letting him fix them, when you're living in your sin and your misery, you push him away. Closing, James 4:4. You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you suppose, this is beautiful, if you've never heard this, some of you may not have, listen close. Do you suppose it is of no purpose that Scripture says, he, the Spirit, yearns jealously over the Spirit that He has made to dwell in us. God says, my Holy Spirit is in you and sees your thoughts and walks with you and sees how you act and sees what you blame. And He's like, why won't you choose me? Why won't you love me that way? Why won't you trust me like that? Why is it not me that makes your heart burn like that? But He gives more grace. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud that want to blame other people instead of accepting it and changing. But He gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, he will flee from you. Draw near to God, he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hearts, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. No more blame. Cleanse your hearts. Trust me. Seek after me. Doesn't matter if the reasons for your sin, it can't be blamed on the world or Satan or flesh or things that have happened to you or your warped view of God. You alone have the choice to believe and follow God's truth and to accept His Spirit. So there's only one person you should really point a finger at. One person that can really make a difference. You got to let go of blame and grab hold of God. And I promise you, every one of us needs to do it. And I'm so glad my wife didn't scream out amen. This is what I want to close with, and I want you to get this. We fight and we struggle within ourselves because we're laying in a hospital bed as Christians all the time. Who we can blame on how we are rather than standing up and sucking up and saying, yes, I got every reason, but no, I refuse. It will not affect me. I will be a soldier for God and I will love other people. And we're so busy fighting and laying in our hospital bed, we don't realize that the entire world is now at the doorstep of claiming war against us. And we need to be up and healed and ready to love an enemy through the biggest war of our life, and it is here upon us. I promise you, we are on the threshold. It is no more, I wonder if it's coming. It is here. And if you can't take the crap the world is going to throw at you and the injustice and the pain that you are about to receive from the crazy world around us without throwing blame, if the person sitting in the pew next to you offends you because you didn't like the way they did vacation Bible school and you're going to blame it on them as to why you didn't come to church, you are going to die. And God is pretty upset when you're still sitting here in the hospital playing the blame game and the entire world is about to rage war against you. And the only way you're going to win against that world is not to beat them back, but to come to them without blame and answer in love. Without fear, without depression, without anxiety, without blame, without bitterness, to affect the world that hates you has to start first with replacing blame with love, even though you will have and you do have a right to blame. If you don't beat this, you're sunk in the day and age in which we live. Because it's not about squabbling in a church about carpet color. It's not about who spoke to you wrong yesterday in the lunch line. It's going to be about the hell we have to pay with the world that's about to change in front of us. You got to get this right, class. And you will find joy in the persecutions to come. And you will find joy in the persecution that's here. And you will find joy in a crazy, troubled marriage. And you will find joy even though you've been abused. Instead of looking for reasons to wallow in your pity. If you have found yourself in this, do not leave until you settle it with God. Give it to Him and get on with it. Let's stand for prayer. Heavenly Father, I know how affected I am with this, and I know there are others here too. Let us get over our pride. Let us be humble enough to say we need you. Let us be humble enough to make it right. Let us be humble enough to say we know we have a problem. It's the beginning. I can blame me and only me because whatever happened to me, I'm your child and I have your truth and I have your Spirit and I can rise above anything with your help and your word. So if I choose not to, I'm to blame. Lord, help us admit that to ourselves, to the world, to our brothers and sisters, and just heal and trust you, starting with me, and live in joy and peace instead of grumbling and griping all the time and being a victim, which is me. I pray the rest of this congregation would say it with me. And let us stand ready. Let us stand tall to love those whom we will be able to blame and are able to blame in this world because they don't know any better, but we do. And love them the way you love them. Lord, you move. It's done. The word has been said. You, through your Spirit, let it sink deep in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.